Good evening, and welcome to A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett, and we enjoy our time together each month where we have the chance to meet such dedicated, sincere, and humble nonprofit leaders who are really making a difference in our community. Together, we are taking a closer look at nonprofits in our community and the people leading them. Our first guest tonight is Cassie Hilger, President and CEO of ArtsQuest. Good evening, Cassie, and welcome.
Laurie, thank you for having me, and I love listening to this show. Yes, I just think this is a great program, and you're giving a platform, such an important platform to so many organizations, so I can't thank you enough for that. And, of course, WDIY.
Thanks so much. We're thrilled to have you, and it was only a matter of time until we landed Cassie Hilger to join us. You are right down the street from our studio here at WDIY, and we're so excited that you are joining us tonight as one of our most outstanding nonprofit leaders in the Valley.
That is humbling indeed, Laurie. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. What we want to do, everyone has heard of ArtsQuest and Music Fest and the great things that you do, but we want to get in there, take a closer look, if you will, and learn a little bit more about the organization, about you as the leader, and how community can get involved. So let's start with a little bit about ArtsQuest. You have been there how long now?
I have been at ArtsQuest since November of 2008 and in this current role since 2015.
Wonderful. So you have seen so much since you arrived and where things are now. Tell us about that. Tell us what you've seen in ArtsQuest as it's moved through your tenure with the organization.
Sure. When I first joined in 2008, what got me excited about becoming a part of the ArtsQuest team was the SteelStacks campus. We were just in the planning stages of that. So to be able to get in almost on the ground floor as that was being developed and help to realize Jeff's vision was truly attractive to me, and a real challenge, of course. Since that time, I think what we've seen is the growth of the SteelStacks campus. Today, what we're looking at is basically a full calendar, and it's one of the reasons why we're looking at a new banana factory to become a new cultural center, redoing the 150-year-old Turn and Grind shop, because the response by the community and visitors, both from the Lehigh Valley and beyond, has been pretty overwhelming. So now we need to look at how we can expand our mission of increasing access to the arts for all. And I think that's been a big major change over the last 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I know I've also heard you talk about is that ArtsQuest uses arts and culture as a main element of economic development for our communities. Could you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I that was a big thing for me that I learned from Jeff. Although I have to say, early in my career, when I was at Air Products and on the board of LVDC, mm-hmm. I understood the importance there of the need for cultural amenities to be able to recruit and retain employees. And that is mm-hmm. more true today than ever. So for me, the arts can access public funding, they can access sponsorships, great partners like Air Products and others, to help realize a vision, which may be more difficult in a private sector. It is not every day that you're going to get a large company to relocate their headquarters to your town. What is more likely is for the arts to be able to create programming that can, again, attract and recruit and retain those employees in such a competitive marketplace where so many employees can literally live and work wherever they want in a remote situation. So we're not just competing like we used to believe with Philadelphia and New York and DC. We're competing with Seattle and Dubai and Shanghai. So we need to think of ourselves as a place that competes almost on that level. So to me, the arts are critical. It's not a quality of life thing only. It is truly a competitive advantage that not just ArtsQuest helps to deliver, all of the amazing arts programs and institutions in the Lehigh Valley, I think, really help to raise the bar.
Absolutely. And you are joined in the Lehigh Valley by so many strong arts organizations. And I know that you all work very closely together with some shared mission and vision. Could you talk a little bit more about that? Are there examples of arts collaborations that you've seen?
Yeah, you know, I think we were doing, we were getting real momentum before COVID. During COVID, mm-hmm. the arts industry, so many industries were impacted, but I could argue the arts industry and those organizations that depend on bringing people together were hit more than most. But before COVID, we had some great partnerships with the Allentown Symphony in their Lyric Room, which is a beautiful new space there. We were having stand-up comedy, and part of that was to bring a new audience to the symphony and to activate that space during non-performance times for them. So that's just one example. But gosh, you know, throughout any typical non-COVID year, we're partnering with almost 200 nonprofits throughout the year, a number of them arts organizations.
Yes. Yes, we just learned a lot. I know you've done a lot with United Way and so many other organizations.
Yeah, we think that, you know, one of the things we can bring to the table with our campus and the Banana Factory is the blank canvas, if you will. I think it's terribly important that we bring variety to our programming, and one of the most important ways to do that is through external partnerships. We can't be the only organization that is jurying what should be offered from an arts and cultural standpoint, so we think it is critical, also from a DEI perspective, to bring more voices to the table and add more seats to the table.
Absolutely. And Cassie, what have you seen? Have you seen a change in your audience? Is there a different kind of art that they're interested in?
Well, that is a great question, Lori. Certainly during COVID, we got a new audience when we went to almost all streaming. And we got some interesting feedback from that programming. And we are seeing a change. And one thing I will mention specifically is this summer, we are going to be putting on the One Earth Reggae Festival with Movement Moves Media. And that has been a phenomenally popular announcement, and that is not something that we have done in the past. We've wanted to, but again, may not be a genre that we've had deep knowledge in, and that's where, again, I go back to those partnerships. Finding someone in an organization like Movement Moves Media helped us to bring their expertise to our campus and help to fill that for what we hope will be a new annual festival. And of course, Movement Moves Media's executive director is Michael Frisetto, who hosts Inside the 610 here on WDIY.
Perfect. Yes, we're certainly aware of that. So thanks so much for that, Cassie. You know, Cassie, as you think about your role as the leader of ArtsQuest, you've been in it for a while. What past experiences do you think brought you to this place today as the leader of ArtsQuest?
When I think back over my past jobs, I think it's the variety that brought me to ArtsQuest. So I started in television production right out of college, and then I went into marketing for Good Shepherd Rehabilitation System, and then I went to Air Products. And those are three very different experiences, MedStar being a small company, Good Shepherd, about 1,200 employees, and of course, Air Products is a global employer. You know, those three different experiences gave me such a rich background in a number of different areas. The biggest thing I learned from all of them was the need to be curious. And that is something that I think I have taken to ArtsQuest. And we've actually spent time as a leadership team talking about the importance of being curious in almost any job. When I think about anyone who is successful at ArtsQuest, they naturally come in curious about what we do and how it gets done. So to me, having a high degree of curiosity about how things work, how do you change a community, how do you build a community? If you have that insatiable appetite for curiosity, I think that is an important skill, regardless of what job you had. But as a leader in particular, I did learn from Sally Gammon at Good Shepherd, and certainly at Air Products, working with a number of exceptional leaders, this whole idea of humility and understanding that if you don't have people that are willing to follow you, there isn't much point to your title. And understanding that without those people, you cannot do anything. And I know that sounds very basic, but what you need to do in setting out a vision as a leader is then give your employees the autonomy and the tools to execute that vision and let them interpret that vision. It may not be exactly what you are imagining. It may actually be better in fact. So to me, having that humility and curiosity is critical as a leader and something I've been fortunate to learn over my years.
Cassie, thank you so much for sharing that. That insight is fantastic. What are you seeing in new employees that you're hiring, Cassie? Are you seeing that curiosity? Are you seeing them come to you, come to the organization with that kind of insatiable curiosity?
We are so fortunate that the employees that are joining us, including the colleagues that I continue to work with and have been there a while, have the same level of curiosity. And I have to mention one thing that I've really seen over the last couple of years. And basically, it's, I think I'm done hearing about millennials. I've heard so many negative things over the years about millennials, and I must have a front row seat to an exceptional group of individuals, because these millennials are dealing with challenges I know I never did, coming out of school with college debt and all sorts of issues that I never had to deal with. They have a sophistication, whether it comes to technology or managing multiple priorities and multitasking, that I know I am envious of. So to me, I'm most excited that the generation coming up, and now the largest portion of our workforce, is probably our most talented.
That's so wonderful. What a wonderful testament. And you see it, you know it, because I know so many of your staff members might be in that millennial range as well.
Yes, unfortunately, I'm one of the older folks at ArtsQuest, but the benefit of that is I get exposed to all the exciting new things that the next generation is wrapping their heads around.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Cassie, is there a specific story or a person that when you think about your role there that really moved you, that reminded you, this is why I love this job, this is why I'm so lucky to be here? Is there an example that you could share?
As a leader, I would have to say that was Jeff Parks. Jeff was such a visionary, and he had accomplished so much in starting ArtsQuest and the Banana Factory and Chris Kindlemart and his original vision for SteelStax. But what inspired me so much about him was, if anyone knows Jeff, he is a WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And he never changed from that standpoint. And I always admired that. But when I first thought about this role and he approached me about working at ArtsQuest, I was terribly intimidated because I had never raised any money. He wanted me to take over sponsorship and marketing. And I was nervous about, joining a smaller nonprofit from coming from a larger corporation. And did I have a background? And he just chuckled and smiled at me and said, I'm a tax attorney and I'm running an arts organization. And from there, that really gave me the confidence, again, going back to that curiosity of, you may not always have the experience right behind you, but if you have that curiosity going forward, you can certainly accomplish whatever you want.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And you shared with all of our listeners a new vocabulary word. a WYSIWYG. I had to write it down here, but now I understand it, so thank you. Cassie, how can the community get involved? We can certainly go to concerts, I understand that, and attend art. Tell us more about how can we support and advance the mission of ArtsQuest.
Absolutely. We are fortunate to have about 2,500 members. We are always looking for people to become involved as members. You can go to artsquest.org for that. And I would strongly encourage people to get involved with volunteering. As we come out of COVID, we need that communal experience again. And I can't think of a better way to do that than the volunteer family at ArtsQuest that are over 1,800 strong. These folks, some of which we've got 12 volunteers that have been there all 39 years of our existence, and then we've got volunteers, that are teenagers. So we've got every age in between, and they really do become a family. So getting involved as a volunteer is a spectacular way to support ArtsQuest. And finally, we have a number of different committees. Volunteers really help us do all of our programming. They help us put up festivals and tear them down and serve as house managers for the Music Fest Cafe presented by Yuengling. So there are a multitude of opportunities for people to not just get involved in as volunteers, but to truly help us shape our programming. And that is something that is very important to us. We must remain a community-based organization. And the best way to do that is to have the community involved with us at all levels.
Absolutely. What about internship opportunities? I know how strongly you feel about workforce. Does ArtsQuest use interns from area colleges in some of your work?
Yes, we use interns actually year-round. And I know a lot of people may think we have limited internships and it's just around our programming. We, like any nonprofit, have finance departments. We have operations departments. We have human resources departments. We started a brand new internship just around DEI, and we offer these internships year-round. So, you know, in the summer, we can have 20 to 30 interns, but we offer opportunities in the fall and the winter and the spring as well. So we do look to local colleges, and we are fortunate to have strong relationships with almost all of them. We try to get to their college fairs. But absolutely, we have a strong need for internships year-round.
Great, great, great. Well, Cassie, we're coming to the end of our time. Is there anything else that we should know about ArtsQuest? Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
I think what I would love to share is that ArtsQuest, as I mentioned before, is a reflection of our community. It is run by our community, and there should be a strong sense of pride across our entire community. For whenever ArtsQuest accomplishes something, it is not the accomplishment of our organization, but it is the reflection of the strength and the vibrancy and the diversity of our community. And I'll give you one small example of that. The SteelStax campus over the last couple of years has won both the Rudy Bruner Award and the Urban Land Institute Award for Global Excellence. These are two awards that are given to best practices in urban revitalization. There are three cities in this country that have won both of those awards: Boston, San Francisco, and Bethlehem. That is something to be proud of and something this entire community has helped make possible. We are on the forefront of urban revitalization across this country.
Oh, Cassie, thank you so much. What you shared with us, your leadership, the commitment to your team, the commitment to community, it's really inspiring. And we're lucky to be so involved with you, and all of us are lucky to benefit from the great work of ArtsQuest.
Well, so, Laurie, I certainly appreciate you taking a closer look.
Thank you so much. And listeners, we'll be back after a short break with our next guest.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is Chris Cucker, president of Wildlings Conservancy. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lori. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show. As you know, every week we've spent time with different nonprofit leaders, and it gives us an opportunity to learn a little bit more about you, a little bit more about your organization, and a lot more about how our community can get involved. And that's what we're hoping to do tonight with you as we talk about Wildlands.
Sounds great.
So let's start, Chris. You have been at Wildlands for a while. I think you've been there since 1995. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Tell us, for people who might not know, tell us a little bit about the mission and purpose of the Wildlands Conservancy.
Yeah. Wildlands is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We were founded back in 1973. Our mission is to protect and restore critical natural areas and waterways and educate the community, create a legacy of healthy, sustainable environment for future generations. The organization has protected about 60,000 acres of open space here in the Lehigh Valley and in the Poconos. We have 14 nature preserves totaling about 3,000 acres. We conduct about 1,000 education programs a year to connect people to nature, and we work to improve the region's water resources, enhance the region's ecological value and biodiversity.
Oh my gosh, Chris, you do a lot. You do a lot. With all that you said, the people that you touch, the students, the families, I mean, the projects that you're involved with, where would our community be without Wildlands?
It's something I think about a lot. I mean, this community is so fortunate to have an organization like Wildlands Conservancy in it. I grew up here in the Lehigh Valley. I don't plan to leave, but if I did leave, I would have to find a community that had an organization like Wildlands in it. that was protecting its natural resources, that were stewarding these resources, and that were, you know, connecting people to nature. And if we look throughout the Lehigh Valley at the green spaces and the parks and the recreation opportunities and the clean air and the clean water, you know, Wildlands has played a really critical role over the past nearly 50 years to ensure our quality of life and quality of places is great here in the Lehigh Valley because of the natural resources that we steward and protect.
Oh, it's so important. How especially important this week, given that we're celebrating Earth Day, which I'm guessing for you, Chris, every day is Earth Day?
Every day is Earth Day. That's a great answer, Lori.
I know when we talked to Kurt Landis, he says every day is a perfect day at the ballpark.
Yeah.
So for you, every day is Earth Day. Well, could you talk a little bit again about that? How do you achieve so much? Why have you been so successful in protecting so many of our open and natural spaces?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the key things is just the people we have, the people that are engaged in Wildlands, the staff and the board of directors. We also had some very visionary, you know, leaders early on in Wildlands history, individuals like Leonard Parker Poole, the founder of Air Products, and Bob Rodale, who, you know, put in place an organization and infrastructure to achieve these really amazing conservation accomplishments. We also have, you know, great support from the community. The businesses here in the Lehigh Valley have been very supportive of our efforts. And we have a very strong and robust volunteer program and volunteer effort for corporations and individuals to come spend time and contribute, you know, some sweat equity into our conservation projects as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, you've really got support from across the board. Chris, early on you mentioned that you have, I think you touch 1,000 students a year. Is that right? Could you talk a little bit more about that, about your education program?
Yeah, we actually have 1,000 education programs a year.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you. I stand corrected.
That's all right. So we touch about 14 or 15,000 students a year. And again, our education programs are all about making that connection to the natural world and the natural resources. It doesn't matter how many acres we protect in this community if there's not that next generation to steward and protect and enhance those natural resources in the future, you know, we're not going to be as well off from a community perspective. So our goal with our education program is to give positive experiences in nature, connect children and adults to the natural resources, develop that sense of stewardship for our natural environment. And some of these programs, Lori, are just wonderful. We have a bike and boat trip where we take middle school kids out on the Lehigh River, you know, for a canoeing experience. We do hikes. We do nature interpretation. We do any range of both in-school and field trips and hikes all throughout the Lehigh Valley. And it's a great way to get connected to nature. We are truly blessed in Lehigh Valley with wonderful natural resources and parks. And Wildlands does a great job of not only protecting those, but also connecting the community to them as well.
And Chris, as you're saying all of that, I'm just marveling at really the range and the reach that you have. What are you seeing in students that come to your education programs? How savvy are they about the importance of protecting the environment?
Yeah, they are much savvier, let's say, than they were, you know, many years ago. I think the environment is really important for young people. I've seen that in my almost 26 years at Wildlands. So I definitely saw a shift in the way that young people think about the environment. They understand its importance. And also, you know, just from a quality of life and quality of place perspective, think about the last 2 years and the amount of time that you spent in nature or the amount of time the community had to spend in nature. I think there was a little bit of an enlightenment when it comes to people's understanding of the importance of having nature nearby in their community and having parks and recreation and natural spaces close to home to recreate in and to connect with nature. And so, yeah, we've definitely seen a major shift in the importance that younger people are placing on the environment and quality of place.
Oh, such great insight. Yeah, absolutely agree. And thanks for being there for all of that, for all of us, especially during COVID. When we think about your work, Chris, you know, there's such a spirit, and you and I have worked together on lots of projects of partnership and of collaboration in the community. Are there any examples of other partnerships with other nonprofit organizations that you've engaged in that help to advance your mission?
That's a great point, Laura. I mean, it's really all about partnerships and about relationships. That's really how we get a lot of our work done. Just most recently, we have a great relationship with LTCI, who is providing some students to do work on our boardwalk, our floodplain trail, which is one of the most iconic trails at the Dorothy Ryder Pool Life Sanctuary. And these young adults are coming in as part of their classwork at LTCI and actually helping us reconstruct the boardwalk and repair the boardwalk. So they're getting practical, you know, real-life experience when it comes to the construction aspect of it, and we're getting our boardwalk repaired. So that's just one example that's just happening literally today that is allowing us to really engage them and get some real value.
Oh, and what great experience for the students from Lehigh Career and Technical Institute. That's great. Chris, let's move in a little bit more as you, as the leader, as the president of Wildlands. What past experiences brought you here right now to this leadership role and that make you so successful in that role?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lori. One of those things is, I grew up here in the Lehigh Valley and was very fortunate to have grandparents and parents that understood and appreciated nature. They liked to hike and to fish and to hunt. So at a very early age, I was exposed to the wonderful natural resources this region has. And, from a very early age on, I made up my mind that I was going to do something to enhance and protect the wonderful natural resources that were so important to me growing up here in the Lehigh Valley. And I was able to find a way to do that through Wildlands Conservancy. I started working there in 1995, as you'd mentioned, on some water quality issues and, kind of worked my way through the organization and became president back in 2006. And every day, I am just so thankful that Wildlands Conservancy is in this community and that I have the opportunity to connect people to nature, to connect the community to the wonderful natural resources we have, and preserve, protect, restore, and enhance just the beauty and the environmental aspects of the Lehigh Valley, an area that I've grown up in and care deeply about. So I feel very fortunate to be leading Wildlands in our efforts.
Your story, your passion is just, it's really inspiring that you are, exactly where you should be. Chris, is there a specific example? Is there a moment maybe earlier in your career that reminded you that, you gave the big answer, absolutely, this has always been part of you. Is there a story or a person that you met or a moment that you had with a staff member or somebody, visiting one of your sites that really stick out to you?
I would say, Charlie Neff, and you might not know Charlie Neff, but Charlie Neff was very much into land preservation. He had worked at Wildlands Conservancy. He started a group called the Wildlands Trust Fund, which was part of Wildlands Conservancy back in 1982. He was responsible for about 20,000 acres of protected land, of the 60,000 that Wildlands protected. And I remember a Friday night, and it was about 5 o'clock, and I was ready to leave for the day. And my boss at the time, Tom Kerr, came in and said, "Hey, can you take Charlie out to this auction to buy a piece of property?" And I said, "Sure." So we went, and it was a nice ride. We were all the way out near Harrisburg, out to Route 78, and the whole way out, he's telling me stories about his hunting adventures and his hiking adventures and the way that he was involved in nature. And I just had such a connection with him and such a connection with what he stood for in the community and what he has accomplished. He really became one of the icons that I really looked up to, from a conservation perspective. Unfortunately, he passed away in 1996, and I was able to talk about him when they put a portrait of him up at the Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area. But I just remember that day specifically, thinking in my mind as I went home and turned off the car, is that I was with a legendary conservationist, and I'm absolutely in the right place to make significant change and bring significant value to the protection of our critical natural resources.
What a meaningful story and perfect example. We should all be so lucky to have those people in our lives. And I'm sure, Chris, you are turning around and doing that for others that are coming up behind you.
Yeah, I hope so. Absolutely.
Yes, I know that you are. Well, speaking of that, how How can we get involved? You mentioned you have certainly lots of volunteers. You have a very active board of directors, of community leaders, and people who are committed to the mission. But how can the community support Wildlands?
Yeah. Well, one of the key things is going to our website and checking out all the information that we have there. Obviously, we're nonprofit, so financial support from the community is also important. You can sign up from one of our award-winning education programs. Like I said, we have about 1,000 of those a year. There's a great community calendar. Some of them are free and open to the public. Some have a small fee associated with them. You can go visit one of our 14 nature preserves. We have an app that you can download in the App Store that gives you maps and other information to have those positive experiences. Get your kids out. Get your grandkids out. Give them the gift of nature, right? Especially on Earth Day when we think about the importance of the environment. Get outside and get into nature. You can come out and volunteer for one of our projects, and one of our activities. Again, as I said, you can be a supporter of our work. So there's many ways to be engaged and to be involved, not only with Wildlands, but with also, the environmental work that's happening here in the community. Again, we're so fortunate to have Wildlands in this community doing the great work that it does. And the community is a big part of making our work possible.
Chris, it's wonderful. And again, I'm a believer. I'm a supporter. I did one of your kayak trips.
I remember. That's great. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us today. Again, listeners, we're with Chris Cucker. Chris is the president of Wildlands Conservancy. Chris, as we close out our time today, is there anything else that our audience should know?
Yeah, I would say the one thing I would just pass along is the importance of getting outside, for your health and for your well-being, but also just to experience the wonderful natural resources the Lehigh Valley has to offer. This is a great place with great natural resources, and try to get out and explore it. If you can't do it today, do it this weekend. Do it in honor of Earth Day. Get outside and get into nature.
Great. Absolutely will. It's a perfect assignment for all of us and an easy one for us to accomplish that will certainly leave us all feeling better. So thank you, Chris Cucker from Wildlands Conservancy. Thank you so much for joining me on this month's episode of A Closer Look.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for making time for this engaging conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org and on all major podcast platforms. I'm Laurie Hackett, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Monday for more WDIY public affairs programming, and we'll see you next time on A Closer Look.